The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Only one more game for the Florida Panthers, two more games for the Edmonton Oilers, if somehow they can extend after a win in Game 6. It is everything that we've expected in the Stanley Cup Final, Drew, between these two great teams, and it's been a topsy-turvy, seesaw, teeter-totter battle. It wouldn't surprise me if it went to Game 7, but then again, the way the Florida Panthers played last game, it's looking like they are in the catbird seat for Game 6.
They put on a clinic last game. After having a lead in Game 4 that they let go and the Oilers came back to win it, they put on a clinic in Edmonton on Game 5. It was spectacular the way they played, led by who was, in my vote, Danny, getting the, if they win, getting the Conn Smythe for the best player in the playoffs in Brad Marchand. I mean, the guy is clutch. Everything he does, he's pushing that team. What a pickup he has been for Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers. They look like they love them already, and it's been fun to watch. You're right. It's been a great series, very close, topsy-turvy, and I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 7, but my goodness me, it's a tough situation for the Edmonton Oilers going back to Sunrise and playing a team that when they play their best, they are the best.
Here's what's interesting is that, you know, Brad Marchand obviously has had an unbelievable Stanley Cup final. I think he's the second player in NHL history to actually score 5 goals in the Stanley Cup final. That's an incredible number. But how about this? What about the fact that Sam Bennett has been great throughout the playoffs and he's got to be a candidate for the Conn Smythe too?
He's got, was it 15, right? He's got 15 right. Goals. It's incredible. And the Conn Smythe is for your play throughout the entire playoffs. That's why Connor McDavid won it last year. Even though his team didn't win the Stanley Cup. So, yeah, Sam Bennett's another one. The other problem for Edmonton is Sam Reinhart starting to wake up again, starting to put the puck in the net. Barkov's game has really picked up the last couple of games as far as putting points in the board. Not scored yet, but still, all the work he did to get that fourth goal last game was incredible. So you've got their top guys playing at the top of their game. But you're right. Bennett's got to be one of those guys you look at. But he's involved in everything, that guy. Incredible.
Well, and you can't forget about Bobrovsky either, but I think he's overshadowed by those two other guys at this point, I would say. On the Edmonton side, you know, everybody's talking about McDavid. He's got the one goal now in the Stanley Cup final, so that may be a step forward for them to carry into Game 6. But for me, it's Leon Draisaitl. How about for you?
Yeah, I mean, you can't look at 4 overtime goals in a playoff and just turn your nose at it.
That's my view.
That's a record. That's incredible. They don't win those games, obviously. They wouldn't be in the situation they're in without him. I would have to – this is no offense to Connor. Connor's a great player, arguably the greatest player in the game today. But Leon, at the key moments, he is the man – for the Edmonton Oilers.
He has been for this series and for this entire playoff for me. And that's why if the Oilers somehow come out of this and win Game 7, you know, there are opportunities to give the losing player the Conn Smythe trophy. I mean, McDavid won it last year and they lost in 7. You could potentially see that this year. That's how great this series has been, by the way.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, it's funny when you listen to up here when the Panthers win, it's about all what the Oilers didn't do. But you know, people get myopic that way. Sports experts, but the insiders, so to speak, get myopic just looking at the one team when you don't credit what the other team did. But when you look at overall this series for me has been about and Paul, you played it on one of our previous programs, how closely matched this series is. The Edmonton Oilers are a better team this year than they were last year in the finals, but the Florida Panthers are a stronger team than they were last year, the entire season, but in the finals especially.
Just wondering, you think Don Sweeney is rethinking that idea of coming to the middle in the negotiations with Marchand, or you think that was just already something they had planned on doing?
It's a great question. I don't know. But when I look at where Brad is right now, I can't see him moving. He's a free agent coming up. I can't see him moving on this. I know that he only wanted to go to the Florida Panthers. And every one of the Florida Panthers have said that as soon as he came in, they loved him. They absolutely loved him. He's got so much energy, high-fives everybody. He's funny as can be. You know, he's one of those guys that Dean Lombardi used to call him glue guys. But he's a glue guy, but also he's a leader. And I believe in the clutch gene, and I think he's got it.
Well, he's got it. He and Bennett both have it, I think. And of course, Bennett's an unrestricted free agent too. So that makes Bill Zito's job all the more interesting in just a few days now. We're getting close to July 1st. Yeah. We're getting close to the draft. It's going to be fun. But let's review this game number five very quickly. Brad Marchand is the man. And this is the interesting thing. The Edmonton Oilers have been bitten by the slow starts bug throughout the course of this final. But Florida has come ready to play, and they've withstood anything that Edmonton's thrown at them early and have taken leads early in the series. And here's one example.
Off the draw, Marchand heads in, a shot, he scores! Brad Marchand, top corner, and the Panthers strike first with 10:48 left in the first. What a start to this hockey game for Brad Marchand. He beats everybody down the ice, and Marchand upstairs gives the Panthers the first one.
So that's a face-off play, and how many times have we seen that? And we have a lot of face-off things to talk about every single season, Drew, but why is Florida so good at that? And why is Edmonton not good at it?
Because how many times have we talked about it, Danny, on the air, that winning face-offs is not just about the centerman? That draw gets pushed back towards the Edmonton Oilers, but Marchand is on his toes. Marchand's ready to go. He jumps to the inside. He goes. And actually, he was interviewed on TNT after, and they asked him about it, and he goes, well, sometimes it helps to cheat because he gets that early jump. But your wingers have to be on their toes. Your wingers have to be ready. That's why I like with the Sharks when I see Celebrini talking to everybody, when I see Wenberg. Wenberg told us, you can't go into a faceoff without a plan. And I like that when I see the Sharks do it. So you got to be ready to go right off the bat. Marchand is. He gets the inside track almost every single faceoff.
You are bringing up something also that's very interesting. You know, during the course of this last season, how many times did the center iceman for the Sharks get tossed out of the circle when they were setting up? And it didn't look to me like they were really cheating or anything or doing anything worse than the other team, but they get tossed out of the circle much, much more. At least it seemed that way to me. Now, what about the idea that maybe the linesman should be watching people like Marchand cheating a little bit as the winger on that faceoff, kind of getting into a position where they should blow the play dead? That can happen.
It does. Didn't happen the other day in the Abbotsford Checkers.
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? What we're talking about, folks, is game one of the Calder Cup final, which it looked as if Charlotte had won in double overtime, but then the officials all converged and they called the play back because they said the goaltender, in quotes, wasn't ready. You don't often see that. But apparently the goaltender, Seelofs, was talking to one of the referees at the time. And so that they said, okay, this is on us. But but boy, I mean, aren't you supposed to be ready? Aren't they supposed to drop the puck because they want to speed up the game?
Yes, they do. And it is up to the referees to make sure that everybody's in place. So with the Florida situation, I think Marchand has such great timing on it. He gets that jump out of the starter's block quicker than anybody. But it just shows you've got to be ready to go off the faceoff. You talked about the Oilers not being ready to go in the game. You've got to give your game traction. And Marchand is able to do that by making sure he's ready to go right off the faceoff.
Mattias Ekholm talked about Edmonton not starting off well after the game, and he says they have to be better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think we've come out flat now for most of the series, so that's something. I think it's a mindset. I think we just got to make sure we get pucks in, try to put pressure on them. They're obviously a good team for a reason, and they've come out and shown that early in the games, and we gotta find a way to be better than that in the start.
Yeah, but Drew, Florida's outscored Edmonton 7-0 in the first period in the last three games, and Chris Knobloch was asked if there's anything they need to do to change that.
No, I can't say that there's anything that we're doing. In the first two games, it was the second period that was the tail. Last three games, you know, it's been the first period. And I think the first period's been heavily dominated with, you know, the power play opportunities, the power play goals that they have scored. Last night, that was not the case. But I would say over the course of the last three games, a lot of it has to do with the special teams.
Okay, special teams is part of it, but that wasn't necessarily the case this time. And, of course, Marchand scored, so Sam Bennett said, why don't I make it 2-0?
Ekholm can't get the puck along on the far boards. Bennett cross ice, Tkachuk near circle, walks in, a wrist shot blocked in. It's picked up by Bennett, and he scores! And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead. That first shot was blocked. It went right to Sam Bennett, and he doesn't miss from there. The Panthers double their advantage. Inside 2 minutes to play in the first. It's 2-0, and it's playoff Sam again.
And you think that that's the hockey god saying, well, we're just going to be lucky for the Florida Panthers, but isn't a lot of it the way that Sam Bennett plays the position? He's always in the right spot because he knows where it's going.
100%. He is such a smart hockey player. Plus, he goes to those tough areas. He is a guy that goes where the puck's going to be, not where it is. He is incredible when you watch him, especially for the tenaciousness and willingness to take punishment in order to score a goal. He is, again, one of the reasons, you know, he's got 15 goals in this postseason. That's amazing.
It really is an amazing thing. Of course, Edmonton had some chances in the middle of all of this. Middle of the first period, Connor McDavid had three or four chances. But also Connor Brown, I thought, had a good opportunity as well. And that obviously gave Edmonton an opportunity. That was also in the first period.
Bennett thought he was chopped down. The Oilers break out. Connor Brown, partial break, shoots, and a glove save made by Sergei Bobrovsky.
Every time that Bobrovsky is challenged, he comes through. That was a big chance for Edmonton to turn the tide of the game.
He had a very good game. You know, again, it's not sometimes how many you make, because it was a very low event game as far as shots go. It's when you make them. And Sergei Bobrovsky's timing when he makes the save always seems to be the big one at the right time.
Okay, so 2-0 after one, 2-0 after two. Not a lot of chances, really, on both sides. Solid defense by the Panthers. They were just putting on a clinic most of the night. And then in the third period, Marchand decided to take off again.
Anton Lundell doesn't win that draw from Draisaitl. Out to the point. It's worked across to Bouchard, but the pass broken up. Marchand in. Pass Wallman. Marchand, and he scores! Marchand went to the back, and he sneaks it down low. Pass Pickard. What an individual effort for Brad Marchand, and the Panthers have taken a 3-0 lead here in Game 5.
So Florida scores a goal like that after losing the draw. I mean, what else can they do right?
They are... Well, that it was an incredible effort by Brad. With him, that it's really interesting when you watch guys, you know, and we've seen it. We saw it with Patty Marleau and Joe Thornton take off. We saw it with Brent Burns. We saw it with Logan Couture. That 2016 series with Logan was incredible. The way that he would just drag everybody else along with him was amazing to watch when Logan was at his best. So certain guys drag other guys into the fight. It wasn't a complete individual effort, that goal. He got some help, but that shows you that certain guys just at times cannot be denied.
So here we are, third period, 3-0 Florida. But a couple of minutes after that second Marchand goal, which was his 10th of the playoffs and 5th of the series, Connor McDavid finally put one in the net.
Perry lets it go through to Bouchard, right point. On to Connor McDavid, a one-timer by Bouchard, got through, a save Bobrovsky. McDavid feeds Ekholm, on to Bouchard, steps up, back to McDavid, to the net, scores! Well, we told you before the game, Connor McDavid has never gone an entire series without at least one goal. Kept it alive for Ekholm, got back up, received a pass from Bouchard, and faked Bobrovsky out of his equipment to score to pull Edmonton within 3-1, and still 12 and a half minutes remain.
Well, all it took was Edmonton to make about six great passes on the play.
Starting with McDavid off balance. Bouchard and Ekholm.
And so that's the call from Jack Michaels, and interesting thought that McDavid gets them on the board, but the problem is that they're playing the Florida Panthers, Drew, and as good a goal as that could have been for the Oilers and as good as it can be for McDavid's confidence, Sam Reinhart had a response less than a minute later.
Seth Jones on to Reinhart, puck dumped in down to our left. Near corner, Barkov behind the net for Hagee, didn't receive it, Barkov recovers. Backhand, up in the circle, shot, Reinhart, he scores! Sam Reinhart, a wrister from the left circle, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 11:50 to play in the third.
46 seconds after McDavid does that, Panthers don't even shrug their shoulders, don't even pant, they just go right out and make the play, and there's Reinhart putting it in. What about the job that Barkov did on that goal, by the way?
Incredible. Incredible. The names on that goal, Barkov for Hagee, Reinhart. But the work that Barkov did behind the net to get that puck, to keep the play alive, to get it to a position where Reinhart was able to score, incredible. He is such a good hockey player. That's why I laugh when people say, well, he hasn't scored. Yeah, but you watch his game. Like Paul Maurice said, well, yeah, we're going to trade him. He is the man when it comes to play on the puck, off the puck. He is the man you have to watch in order to go, oh, okay, that's how you're supposed to play the game of hockey these days.
Hey, there are a lot of good leaders on that team, but he's got a letter on his sweater for a reason.
And well-respected. Like he is bona fide the man for them. He is so well-respected because everybody sees what he does. Leads by example.
Incredible. Well, by the way, Edmonton fans are among the most vociferous in the league. They're massive. They support the team. It's the pride of the entire city. You know, the 50-50 raffles frequently over $10 million in the playoffs, yeah, which is an unbelievable number. And yet, at this point in time in the third period, boy, Florida was able to take them out of the game.
Yeah, they really did. That goal, you called it perfectly, as usual. 46 seconds later, after Edmonton gets some life in their building, they're finally, the fans are starting to wave the towels. They're getting excited again. And boom, 4-1. It just, how many times have we seen it the last couple of years? Sharks score, and the next team, right away, next shift, they come back. It just demoralizes you. Your bench just sinks. So that was a huge goal.
Now, Edmonton is not going to give up, obviously, and they've come back from three-goal deficits because of the firepower on their team, and so they would make a shot at it with only about 3:13 remaining in the game. That's the issue. Not a lot of time to do it. Corey Perry, at age 40, did it.
Drysdale, who mishandles for a moment, Nurse to the corner. Corey Perry, the extra attacker on. Drysdale tried to center. That deflected up top. A drive score! Corey Perry! Cuts it to 4-2, and there's still more than 3 minutes left in this game.
Now the fans got a little bit of a boost from that, but unfortunately for them, Florida once again would respond. They had the score with the extra attacker on. And then, of course, when you have that extra guy out there and the empty net is on the other side, there's always a risk, and risk turned to reward for Etu Luostarinen.
Forsling up the near side, puck didn't leave the zone. Long shot, Draisaitl save, Bobrovsky off his chest protector. Luostarinen now sends one long, and he scores on the empty net. And the Panthers take a 5-2 lead, an empty net goal with 1:19 to play.
Here's the question, Drew.
Yeah.
Did Chris Knobloch make the wrong decision to start Pickard in game number 5?
That's what everybody's asking. And the question is, will he go back with Skinner for game 6?
I predict he will.
Well, here's my thing. That when you do it and you make your move, and it doesn't work, you're a bum. You're a bad coach. You made a dumb move. If it works, you're a genius. Again, I'll go back to John Hines coaching Minnesota last year. In overtime, in the regular season, he pulls his goalie because Marc-Andre Fleury, because they need the points to try to make the playoffs. And they score. And everybody talks to him. And the next day he was on the NHL Network, as a matter of fact, and was asked about pulling in. What a great move it was. He goes, yeah, because it worked. He goes, if it doesn't work next time, then all of a sudden I'm a bum. He said, that's just the way coaching is. And that is the way coaching is. But I also go back to the Sharks series against the Los Angeles Kings when Todd McClellan took out, Antti Niemi, for that mind blank for a second, takes out Antti Niemi and puts in Alex Stalock. Lose that game, and then puts Antti Niemi back in for game 7. Loses that game too. Was Todd a bad coach? Is Todd doesn't know what he's doing? Or did it just not work out for a coach?
Just didn't work out.
This doesn't work out. So every time Skinner has been pulled out and put back in, he's been spectacular. Pickard was undefeated as a starter going into that game last game. I mean, I can look at the reason.
And by the way, you can't pin this loss on him either.
No, and you played last game in game 4. You couldn't pull the first period. You couldn't put it on Skinner either. In fact, Chris Knobloch said that. His team was flat, so he pulled him for shock value. The thing is, as a coach, you got to go with your gut. You can listen to what everybody says. You can talk to all your coaches. You can talk to the players. But in the end, you got to go with your gut. And if you go with your gut and it works, great. If it doesn't, you made the move based on what you thought was the best thing for your club. So I think he probably does go back with Skinner. And again, it's coaching. You know, sometimes your hunches work. Sometimes they don't.
Well, Chris Knobloch was asked about this. And of course, this is creating a little bit of a peripheral opponent inside the Edmonton's press room. But he was asked about deciding on the goaltender for game 6. And here's what he said.
That's a conversation with the staff, obviously our goaltending coach, Dustin Schwartz, but with all the assistants, the general manager, and kind of weigh in how everyone feels and what's best moving forward. And it's not an easy decision. We got two goalies that have shown that they can play extremely well, win hockey games. And we feel that no matter who we choose, they can win the game.
That's a good answer, but by the same token, his team's got to start better, and that's what Mattias Ekholm was talking about earlier, because a good start for a team in front of a goalie makes the goaltender better.
100%. And you've got to give your game traction. What I love about watching the Florida Panthers, for the most part, they do not waver from their game. They give their team a chance to get their game going. When Florida made a few adjustments this time, which in game 5, and the biggest adjustment was breakouts out of their own end. They didn't try to force the puck up the boards. Edmonton was taking that away. They did a great job of supporting through the middle, and they broke the puck out. I think it was 67% of the time. Their breakouts were successful coming out of the zone, to the less than 50% of the time where Edmonton was employing that punt. So they gave their team a chance.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
So now let's talk about the Florida Panthers' feeling about all of this. First of all, head coach Paul Maurice talking about being just one win away from the Stanley Cup championship. What's the biggest difference that you have in this situation in a quick turnaround?
It's not a big thing. It's the smallest thing. Right, it's 2 feet ice taken, a good stick, close support. When we got into the second period of game 4, we weren't that far off it. We were just 2 feet off it. So these are small margins on everything that happens on the ice. The danger of that team is always there. You got to be a foot better, 2 feet better, a little better stick, all those small things, and that's... I didn't feel as badly about our game as the final score says that we should have. I didn't think we were that far off in our last game. And I also don't think that there was an egregious difference tonight. The final score doesn't tell the story. So many close plays, a post that, you know, it's just, it's a lot tighter than the final score wants you to believe.
Wise words from the head coach of the Panthers. And then the question is, how nervous do you get when you're on the verge of winning? Brad Marchand's done it at least once in his career back in 2011. And he was asked if he gets nervous out there these days.
Not really, no. To be honest with you, I said this to my wife, the most nervous I've been in years was before game one, just the amount of time we had kind of leading up to it. But the morning when I woke up, it kind of left. It's more just kind of sitting waiting, more just antsy than anything, but not nervous. I mean, it's going to play out the way it's going to play out, and said it a ton of times. We're just enjoying the moment. It's a special time, special memories we're going to have forever. So not really nervous, just excited.
And Sam Reinhart says that he's got some thoughts about this too. And the word that comes to mind for him is that the Panthers are comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, the more times you're in a situation like this, the more comfortable you're going to be. We've been staying in the moment very well, all postseason. And, it's just about handling your day. And, we did what we set out to do today, and now it's about recovering and getting back at it in a couple days.
You can sense the different feeling in each dressing room right now, but that's probably natural since the Panthers have the 3-2 lead.
Danny, in jiu-jitsu, they try to teach you to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And the only way you can do that is go through those uncomfortable situations in order to find your comfort level being there. I know that's kind of complicated, or actually almost oxymoronish, but the more you go through it, the more you have somebody who's trying to get your back and put you in a rear naked choke, and the more you're trying to figure out, the more times you go through it, you start to figure out your outs. You start to figure out how I can neutralize this situation, how I can overcome. And the Florida Panthers have been through it now, and they know if they do the right things, the things they've done before, that they will be able to overcome, adapt, and win.
On the Edmonton side, it's only one game. It's only one shift. It's only one point. Paul Maurice talked about that too, the small things. And with that, Drew, I'm going to go to one of the greatest tennis players of all time, Roger Federer, who was talking about something similar to what these teams are going through right now. He talked about this when he was giving the commencement address to Dartmouth University in 2024. And here's what he said.
In tennis, perfection is impossible. In the 1,526 singles matches I played in my career, I won almost 80% of those matches. Now, I have a question for you. What percentage of points do you think I won in those matches? Only 54%. In other words, even top-ranked tennis players win barely more than half of the points they play. When you lose every second point on average, you learn not to dwell on every shot. You teach yourself to think, okay, I double faulted, it's only a point. Okay, I came to the net and I got passed again, it's only a point. Even a great shot, an overhead backhand smash that ends up on ESPN's top 10 playlist, that too is just a point. So here's why I'm telling you this. When you're playing a point, it has to be the most important thing in the world, and it is. But when it's behind you, it's behind you. This mindset is really crucial because it frees you to fully commit to the next point and the next point after that with intensity, clarity, and focus. The truth is, whatever game you play in life, sometimes you're going to lose a point, a match, a season, a job. It's a roller coaster with many ups and downs. And it's natural when you're down to doubt yourself and to feel sorry for yourself. And by the way, your opponents have self-doubt too. Don't ever forget that. But negative energy is wasted energy. You want to become a master at overcoming hard moments. That is, to me, the sign of a champion. The best in the world are not the best because they win every point. It's because they know they lose again and again and have learned how to deal with it. You accept it, cry it out if you need to, and then force a smile. You move on, be relentless, adapt and grow, work harder, work smarter. Remember, work smarter.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's an amazing stat, isn't it? 54% of the points is what he won. yet he's the greatest, one of the greatest of all times, if not the greatest of all time. But those words, the part about self-doubt, and we all go through it. Self-doubt robs us of joy. And that was I love that, Danny. I absolutely love that. Fantastic.
That's all the time we have for Roger Federer today, but I might bring him up a little bit later because he has so many good things to say. Right now, all you can say is it's going to be an unbelievable Game 6, and we will have all of that right here on the Sharks Stanley Cup Playoff Report. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.